Many of us might not really have noticed the sequestration cuts by Congress, but they are being felt. One place within the federal court system. 87 judges have signed a letter outlining the problems caused by the cuts, and they've sent that letter to Congress. One of the judges who signed that letter is the chief judge for the United States District Court of Eastern District of Michigan, Gerald Rosen, and he joins us now. Judge Rosen, how much money are we talking about, and how significant is that compared to your overall budget?
Well, nationwide, the cuts are dramatic. They're about $350 million overall. Across the board for court programs. Looking here at home in the Eastern District of Michigan, for fiscal 2013, we have experienced about a $2 million absolute cut. And that translates in a number of different ways, Lester.
Now, I wanted to talk about some of the services and programs that have been cut. What's it mean?
Well, let's start with employees. Employees for the court are provided through various formula in each area. For example, in the probation department, in the pretrial services department, in the clerk's office. And it's based upon volume, largely upon volume, which reflects the need. So we are down court-wide, we are down about 63 employees from our formula allotment. And our caseload is not down. Our caseload, in fact, at least in the criminal area, our caseload is actually up. So what this means, Lester, is we're actually trying to do more with less resources. And that, of course, spreads everybody thin. I'll talk just about one area to begin with because it really impacts public safety. And that's the area of providing funding for our pretrial services officers and our probation officers. As you probably know, Lester, we supervise offenders both before they are in trial or before they plead guilty or before they're acquitted. And then we supervise them when they come out of prison and are integrating back into the community. And in order to supervise them, we have a number of different tools. We use things like drug testing. We use things like drug treatment, monitors, tethers, mental health counseling. In the case of sex offenders, we use predictive testing to determine whether they pose a risk to society. I should add parenthetically that it's much less expensive to supervise an offender pre-trial and after they come out rather than putting them in the penitentiary or after they come out, putting them back into prison.
Do you think the members of Congress are aware of these kinds of consequences, this increase in the risk to the public?
Well, that's certainly why we wrote our letter, and I was one of the drafters of the letter, along with the chief judge of the Southern District of New York and several other chief judges around the country. We wanted to help our colleagues in the legislative branch understand what the impact of their funding cuts were. So let's talk about on the ground what it costs. In order to supervise an offender in the community, it costs about $3,400 a year. In order to supervise somebody and detain them, if you put them on bond, the cost of that is anywhere from $21,000 a year with minimal supervision all the way to $34,000 a year for maximum security. Obviously, that's a huge difference. But beyond the costs, there are many benefits to having offenders in the community. First, they can integrate back with their families. They can earn money. They can support their families. If they're preparing for trial before, during pretrial, it's much easier for them and for their lawyers to prepare their defense. Post-trial, it's an important step into reintegrating back into the community and back into their family to have them with their family. And all of these tools that I've talked about, the drug testing, the monitors, the mental health treatment, halfway houses, all of these tools are what we used to ensure that these folks are not lapsing back into dangerous conduct.
Let's talk about the other side of the coin here. Are there cuts in funds providing lawyers for those who cannot afford one?
Well, that was what I wanted to talk about next, and the answer to that is yes. The federal defenders who represent indigent criminal defendants, Their budget in 2013 was cut 10%. The proposed cuts for fiscal 2014 was another 23% on top of that. And we, of course, called that out in our letter to Congress. Again, this is another of these penny-wise and pound-foolish sorts of cuts, because obviously there's a constitutional right for a defendant to have a lawyer. So indigent defendants are required to have counsel. If we don't have sufficient federal defenders, then they have to be what we call paneled out. They have to be represented by private lawyers who it costs a lot more, even though we pay them at very, very low hourly rates. It costs a lot more than simply paying the salary of a federal defender who's already on the federal salary rolls.
One of the big cases we think about when we think about the federal court in the Eastern District is the Detroit bankruptcy case. Are these sequester cuts going to have an effect on something like that?
I hope not. You know, we've been very good so far at absorbing the cuts that we've had to absorb. As I said, in fiscal 13, it's about $2 million through attrition and through other cuts that we've been able to make and efficiencies such as shared services among our court units. In fact, we're sharing services. You asked about the Detroit bankruptcy. We're sharing some services with the bankruptcy court, which we hope will realize some efficiencies. So I'm hopeful that it would not affect such a major case as the Detroit bankruptcy. But it's going to affect our ability to handle all cases eventually. We've had to cut back in the clerk's office on personnel, so it will cut back on efficiency.
Given the atmosphere in Congress right now, how optimistic are you that this letter from federal judges will even be noticed?
Well, I'd like to say I'm optimistic, but I'm not. You know, and maybe to understand why, you have to understand how small our budget really is. People have, you know, we are the third branch of government. We're a co-equal branch under the Constitution to the other branches, but yet our budget is less than 0.2%. Putting it another way, for every $100 that's spent, we spend about 19 cents. But our budget is very small. Members of Congress tend to think of us not as a co-equal branch of government, but as a small agency. And
you need better lobbyists.
Yeah, we do. We need better lobbyists. Unfortunately, we don't have much of a constituency. You know, we're not able to do the things that other lobbyists do. We are, of course, by the canons of codes of conduct, precluded from engaging in any kind of political activity, including, of course, fundraising. So we're not really a recognized constituency in that sense, in that we don't participate in the political process. But the courts, our little piece of the budget, feels the impact of the sequestration cuts disproportionately.
Right. Gerald Rosen is the Chief Judge of the United States District Court in Eastern District of Michigan. He is one of the signatories, along with 86 other judges, who signed a letter outlining the problems caused by sequestration, and they sent that to Congress. Good luck with that.
Thank you very much, Lester. Thanks for having me on.